Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast.
With me, Mason Wazwaz.
And me, Kate Rhodes. A lot of things happened this week. We went and saw Angela Davis speak at UCSD.
At their auditorium, the Civic Auditorium, which was packed, jam-packed.
The line went like six blocks away from the front door.
Kate almost didn't make it in.
And then Maysoon, we were with Maysoon and one of our correspondents from the show, Joanne Pack, and they accidentally cut the line.
We did. It was crazy. We dropped Kate off in front of this auditorium and said, get in line, we'll go park, and we'll run and meet you. And then we parked pretty quickly. We went to a garage. Santa Cruz parking is cheap, by the way, guys. Just go ahead, drive down there and park your car for the day.
take the Greyhound to San Francisco.
I'm not sure what else you'll do down there, but go for it. So we parked the car and we walked back to the Civic Center, the auditorium. And there was this, you know, it looked like the line was going in and we were getting into the back of the line. But it turns out that there was actually like four blocks of line still traveling through.
That I was at the end of.
And we didn't realize because there was this huge, supposedly a huge like half block gap of people not being there.
Oh, yeah. There was a long gap.
So it was kind of like we weren't trying to be bad.
It was because people were not blocking the driveway of the fire station.
Oh, that's so considerate.
Yeah. Well, they had to. There was a guy out there.
Oh, who was like, don't do
people.
This.
Yeah.
But anyhow, if I were in a line that long, I would be like on top of the person in front of me. I'd be like, go, go, go. Come on. We got to get in. So Joanne and I got in with this group. And when we got in, I mean, the auditorium was 80% full when we arrived. It was still, I mean,
and people got turned away.
Hundreds of people got in. But we got these killer seats, three seats right on the corner. Perfect. It was just perfect. They closed the doors and Kate was still outside. So I had to send Joanne out to the door and be like, we have to get our friend in.
And
we're holding her seat.
And I was like, it's now or never.
Right.
I'm just going to find a way inside.
The lecture was the 31st Annual Martin Luther King Jr. Convocation and the 7th Annual Tony Hill Memorial Award. And so Angela Davis was the keynote speaker.
So they gave this award to this guy, Jacob Martinez. What was the name of that award? God damn it. The Tony Hill Memorial Award. Anyhow, gave this award to this guy who no one was there to see. Except maybe his family. Mm-hmm. Is that me?
Maybe some of the kids that
the
he supports.
The guy was good. He gave a good talk. He runs a place that teaches like programming skills and stuff to like maybe...
To youth in Watsonville.
Latino kids. Yep.
But he was saying, I remember the one thing I really remember about what he was saying was that when he was trying to get the big tech companies to recruit from the Watsonville community, they were basically like, we don't recruit people from Watsonville.
Then this kick-ass Reverend Deborah Johnson.
She was great.
Came out and gave a fucking amazing talk and whatever convocation.
Yeah.
Basically calling people to action.
Yeah.
But my favorite part of the whole night, besides Angela Davis's excellent talk, was when the chancellor of UCSD came out and he was, you know, introducing everybody, introducing this award they were about to give. And, you know, a big white old guy.
Yep. Big white old guy.
Big old white guy came out and was talking about all this shit and how, you know, we're facing a lot of different problems than Martin Luther King Jr. had to face in his lifetime. Like... global warming and yada yada. And then someone in the audience screamed out, tuition hikes.
It was amazing. And the whole auditorium like exploded.
And that's when things kind of started to fall apart for that guy.
For that guy, because then there was nonstop heckling. I heard people like saying racism or racist
up
there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's pretty wild. It's like, oh my God, I love Santa Cruz.
Yeah, that was pretty badass. A lot of the people in the audience were high school students.
Yeah, there were, I think, three high schools
and
there.
And a lot of UCSD students, I'm imagining.
Right. There were A lot of young people.
And they're not taking shit.
They're not taking it.
Loved it.
I love them.
And then Angela Davis gave her excellent talk, which was entitled, did we say that? Racism, Militarism, and Poverty from Ferguson to Palestine.
I liked how she made one comment where the word terror and the idea in terrorism has become like the 21st century counterpart to communism from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah. that it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I thought that was interesting. Or just I was glad to hear her, to hear someone say that so publicly. Because I was like, yeah, come on, this word. People are just using this word for anything, to mean anything that they don't like. It's just like so over the top, that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
What else? Do you have anything else to say about her?
Oh, just, you know, I mean, we knew all that. It wasn't any new information necessarily, but it was put in an extremely elegant way. If we can find a link, we'll put a link in the link world so you can watch it yourself.
Although there was that company she mentioned called G4S that I still wanted to look into.
Apparently the third largest corporation in the world is some arms company.
Yeah.
After Walmart, Foxconn, and then there's G4S. Look into that, people. As you know, people, everything's owned by corporations. All the media in America is owned by about 7 corporations. Except this media, we're not owned by shit. That's why you should be getting all your information from Congratulations Pine Tree. And then the mayor of Santa Cruz, after Angela Davis gave her very moving speech to a uproarious standing ovation, indeed, the mayor of Santa Cruz came out. His speech was another one that was just heckled to death.
Yeah.
People were screaming Bearcat, which was the name of the military vehicle that mayor, I don't know if they have one in Santa Cruz. Angela Davis was talking about the one in Berkeley.
Right. that the the city of Berkeley, along with the University of Berkeley,
and tried to purchase, and the Albany, city of Albany
purchased, but then they were talked down by.
Yeah, but I swear they have one. I thought they had one in the last big
armored military tank.
I thought they,
right?
I don't know. Just a military vehicle. It's one of these things that has like a gun nest on top for a sniper.
Oh. I imagined,
but
a
tank. I thought they had one in the last big protests.
Oh, really?
That they, I thought so, but maybe I'm wrong. That's another link we'll link to somewhere. Anyhow,
we'll try to find some information for you.
The mayor came out and gave her a key to the city. Isn't that funny? And Angela Davis was just like, "Can I get off the stage now?"
She was like, "Am I done yet, people? I said what I came to say. Let's go. I don't need some key to your stinking city."
So overall, 10 out of 10, would totally do it again, even with a long drive down to Santa Cruz,
which, by the way, wasn't that bad.
Loved it. Did nothing but eat goldfish, shoot the shit, annoy the shit out of Joanna Maysoon with my beautiful singing.
Oh my god.
Another talk that happened this week from another amazing person that I love, it was Jennifer A. Gonzalez, who's also a professor at UCSC, came and gave a talk at SFAI entitled "The Cartographies of Democracy."
He reminds us that artists, critics, and curators should engage democracy. That what's important is that they invite us to engage democracy at all, rather than cynically dismissing the term, as some on the left have been tempted to do in recent years, due to Bush administration's mobilization of democracy as a legitimizing principle in the invasion of Iraq, unquote. So I have raised my hand because I have been tempted to do so, but I want to heed Yates McKee's injunction that we do not do so, that we do not let it go.
She presented works by two artists, one named Ressler and the other one is Carlos Mota, who both did these interview projects with all different people. Mota interviewed people in Central and South America about the like American intervention in their countries, and all this other stuff. I recorded the whole thing real badly. I can't imagine it's a good recording, but I'll put a link to that too in the underworld.
But I imagine SFAI records their lectures.
No.
Really?
Remember when I went, I know I've talked about Carolee Schneeman's lecture at SFAI 100 times on this podcast, but I remember my favorite part of that was when I walked up and talked to her after the lecture and was like, "Hey, you're awesome." And she said to us, "They didn't even fucking videotape this."
She did. I love her.
That's exactly what you said the last time I told the story.
God, good. I'm glad you remember
I remember because I can listen to it. I can listen to it on a podcast.
Is that on the podcast? So we're going to just do like a deja vu moment here?
Yep. Deja vu. Maybe we should do a dingle thing and I'll just replay that.
But I know that
she's surly for sure. She referred to her vagina as a cigar box. I went and chit-chatted with her after, and she was like, "They didn't even fucking videotape this."
Ooh, good for her.
Dingle, dingle, there it goes.
Where it repeats? That's pretty funny. I like that. That's going to be a lot of work for you to track that down.
No, it's not. I know exactly what episode it was in. I re-listened to all our episodes over and over again. Every time somebody new tells us they liked the show, I re-listen to it through their ears. Anyhow, SFAI doesn't give a shit about their lectures.
Because they don't record.
Because they don't
That's
record
crazy.
It.
That's crazy. They bring in such big names because they must have the budget for it.
Oh, yeah. God, it takes just about nothing to record a lecture. Just pop a camera up there.
Yeah.
You
That's
know?
Disappointing. Wow,
pop it on the internet. Just got to get a work study student to do it for you. All right, listeners, send in your complaints to SFAI. As somebody who didn't go to SFAI, I know I don't fully understand all the aspects of it. But SFAI scares the living shit out of me.
Wow. Why?
I just feel like everyone there is like super catty and mean. Like even the graffiti is mean. Like the graffiti will have more graffiti that's like critiquing the first graffiti and then another third graffiti that's responding to the critique, critiquing that one.
Oh.
The damn graffiti even is catty and snarky.
Is that catty?
It's snarky.
Critiquing?
It's cynical. Where it's like, oh, what are you from the 80s? Like meow, meow, meow. People get, SFAI is the only place I've been to where people get heckled at a lecture during the Q&A.
God, that's intense.
Yeah. So it didn't get too bad this time, but there were definitely some people trying to flex their little intellectual muscle.
Students?
I'd imagine that they were. Yeah, I think most of them were students. I think because this was part of the graduate lecture series, I think the grad students are required
to go.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have to go to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you went to SFAI and I'm talking mad shit about your school right now, feel free to call in and give me what for. 419-351-6606 or at Pine Tree Podcast on Twitter. It's on Twitter.
It's on the bird theme fucking, what is it called?
Whatever.
Social media
site. We change it every time. So that's always a little bit intense, seeing anybody at SFAI. I feel a little like, judge,
you feel on guard. You're like, yeah. Just don't look at me.
Yeah.
Don't look at me, whatever you do. That's all funny. Right. I always see people that I like in the audience.
Right after that, a show opened by M. Lamar called Negro Gothic.
Yeah.
There was a naked performance.
Did you go to it?
Yep. There was a naked performance. Weird ass show, man. Weird ass show. My favorite part was another take on Robert Mapplethorpe's Bullwhip.
Oh.
Self-portrait, you know, where he's got the bullwhip in his butthole.
I do know.
Mm-hmm. And except in this one, I think the artist, who's a black man, has the bullwhips up a bunch of white guys' assholes, and they're all in a line, and he's holding the end of the whip. It was pretty badass. I loved it.
Was that a video? Is that what you said?
Photograph.
Photo. Mm-hmm.
There was also video. It was interesting. Okay, so if you want to see this show and all the anuses and all the different racial commentary, it is going to be open until February 28th. And also there's a performance called Surveillance, Punishment, and the Black Psyche on February 13th at 8 p.m. And that's at 800 Chestnut Street, I guess in the lecture hall. So let's get right on down to the ramble, Maysoon.
All right. There's lots of shows out there.
Sure are.
And some of them are coming to an end, so we want you
yep.
to see them.
Here's one that's coming to an end. The California Society of Printmakers Members Exhibit is going to be closing on February 7th. And that's at Gray Loft Gallery at 28889 Ford Street in Oakland. Uh-oh, bad news, guys. The Keith Haring Show, The Political Line at the DeYoung Museum, is about to be closing on February 16th.
Cringe Video Works at Aggregate Space will be closing on February 7th. They're in Oakland. Go see it.
Immaterial at the Headlands, curated by Kevin Chen. A lot of friends of the show in that show.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be open till February 22nd.
Mark Benson, How Was Your Weekend at Evergold Gallery is open through February 14th here in San Francisco.
Okay, so there's the show at Kala Gallery, Seeing Time with
Freddie Chandra, Desiree Holman, Ranu Mukherjee.
That talk is on February 21st at 2 p.m.
There is Mystic Pizza, new works by Lisa Rybovic Crowley, Scott Hewicker, Courtney Johnson, and Tamara Seal at City Limits in Oakland. That's up until February 21st.
That's at Jack London Square.
Really?
Okay, the first year MFA exhibition at Berkeley for the first year MFA students, always an exciting time, is open until February 4th. Shit.
That's at really Worth, soon, you guys.
That's at Worth Rider Gallery, 116 Kroeber Hall. Get in there.
There's Dashiell Manley. Time seems sometimes to stop at Jessica Silverman Gallery in San Francisco.
Don't like the title on that one.
February 21st. Also, Francesca Pastine show called Totem at Eleanor Harwood Gallery here also in San Francisco through February 21st. And Anthony DeCenza, Trouble
Ooh,
Sleeping.
That's a good one. At Ed Al. Ed Al. Get over there.
Jesus Christ. That's open through February 27th. So
talk about good show titles, though. Letters to the Predator by Jenny Ottinger. That's open through February 28th.
Go, Jenny.
At Johansson Projects, which is 2300 Telegraph Avenue.
Not too much to look at. New Ugly Paintings at Ooh. Royal Nonsuch Gallery in Oakland. Open through March 1st.
Here's a little weird one. Birds Do It, Bees Do It. Oh, a Century God. Of Sex Miseducation in the USA. That is at the Doe Library on UC Berkeley campus.
Is that like Doe as in D-O-H or D-O-E?
D-O-E.
Okay, thanks.
That's where the art history department's offices are on the fourth floor.
Oh, you know who works there, don't you?
Yep. And that's through February 28th, and it's open 8 to 5 p.m.
There's Zach Smith and William T. Volman, It's My Job to Be a Girl, at Stephen Wolf Fine Arts.
Gotta get there.
Open through March 7th. This is actually Stephen Wolf's last show in the space. He'll be closing the gallery at the end of the show.
And so hopefully we're going to interview him about it.
Make Things Happen, organized by Christine Long Yap, visiting artist from New York.
Who was in the Bay Area.
Former Bay Area artist.
So we'll give her the pass.
Who we're also going to be interviewing. Anyhow, that show opens Friday, February 6th, and it will run through March 2nd at Interface Gallery in Oakland.
One last one in the East Bay, The Art of Living Black. This is at San Pablo Art Gallery, but it's a satellite exhibit from the Richmond Art Center, and it features paintings and mixed media work by Paula DeJoie and Gail Magian. That's open through March 1st. Okay. So, if you go to those shows and you see us, I'll have a hole punch and I'll give you a card and I'll punch your card for every show you go to. And if you get 10 hole punches, you get a special Congratulations Pine Tree commemorative plaque. What do you think, Mason? We still got to send Sarah Klein some shit. I promised her a package and we haven't sent shit.
I thought you and Katie sent it. You told me, oh yeah, Katie.
I thought you wanted to put a little something in.
Oh, okay. I can.
Here, okay, Sarah Klein, if you're listening to this, we love you.
We're sorry.
Still
we're
putting
such
that package together. This is why we can't have nice things. Ducking and dodging and diving for that rent. If it couldn't be broken, it could be bent.
So
literary news.
In literary news, I read this fantastic article by David Talbot, who's also the author of Season of the Witch, which is this incredible history of San Francisco from kind of the 40s through today. So it goes through, basically talks about all the political, social, cultural things happening in the city through time, basically.
Check it out.
Go to
the library.
We'll leave you a link. to the library.
We'll give you a link to your local library.
But anyhow, Tim Redman, who is the editor of The Guardian for forever, has this blog called 48 Hills. Anyhow, this week I found a post by Tim Redman on his blog called, where he posts an address by David Talbot to a class at Stanford. And I don't know if it was like a graduating class or what, but the title of the talk is Don't Be a Stanford Asshole. Where he basically goes
in. I love it.
It's very well written. It's very intense and
very curmudgeonly.
It's amazing to think of him talking to a room of like 20-year-olds. I'm just like, this is amazing. Anyhow, he's like, you have a choice to make. You can either be, you know, a part of the problem, you know, or you can.
Be looking out for your own fucking interest and make lots of money, or you can help the world.
Yeah, that was sort of like the gist of the article, but he kind of went through the whole tech world and tech boom, and he just went through this incredible history of the Bay Area as an innovative place, and how it was just very, I thought it was fairly insightful and also amazing to read. He's a very good writer.
We'll have a link to it.
Please read it. It's so funny. He literally says, you can either be an asshole or you can do something good for the world. I was just like, they're never going to invite him back ever again. We should invite him on the show.
In other literary news, as I mentioned in our last episode, I got that book by Boots Riley, which is actually a screenplay, and I just finished it.
Ooh, did you bring it?
And that shit was fucking awesome. I did bring it, but Katie's borrowing it. Oh, also, when you get it, there's a free download of the album by the same title.
And it's called Sorry to Bother You.
SF Sketchfest is happening. Do you guys know about this? This is the best shit in the world. They have every awesome comedian in the fucking America.
Let's go.
Come and do stuff. I went to one thing. Speaking of comedians, Cameron Esposito. Cameron Esposito, who also has a podcast called Put Your Hands Together.
Nice. Yep. I like that. Speaking of comedians, did you hear about, we're like totally doing the gossip line right now, the situation with Kamau Bell?
Katie Kondo here, who's our research assistant, is going to break down the story for us.
So he had morning brunch at Elmwood Cafe with his wife.
Kamau Bell did.
Yes. And it's like her favorite brunch spot. And they had a beautiful brunch there. And then he left to go work on his awesome writing stuff. And she continued to eat there for a second meal that day to hang out with some of her friends. Mm-hmm. So she's white and all her friends are white. And they're sitting outside enjoying lunch together
with
at
their
this
babies.
Cafe with like, their babies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mother's group.
And then he comes walking back up with his laptop, and he just bought a book that's actually about interracial marriage. Mm-hmm. And about, like,
it's a children's book.
Yeah. Called, like, Loving. It's about the Loving case, which was the Supreme Court case that ended up striking down interracial marriage bans. So he was carrying this book to bring back to his wife, and he, like, shows them the book and is talking to his wife and talking to her friends. And then a staff member from inside
taps on the window.
Yeah.
Aggressively.
Yeah. And like tells him to scram.
Yeah. Or he kind of the lip reading was like scram or get out or something.
Yeah. And he is just like stunned and doesn't understand what's going on. And then the ladies are stunned and don't understand why he looks so upset. And then the staff member comes outside to where they're sitting, and then they sort of realize that nothing bad is happening.
I thought they went inside. I thought, like, he and his wife went inside.
Well, they did after.
Right, because at one point he says he went to the car and sat in the car while his wife was talking with the cafe. He didn't want it to get the conversation to get misconstrued as him being intimidating to the employee, or, like, just the way that black people get sort of implicated into these, like, nightmare of situations that didn't really happen or don't, you know, like,
right.
I don't know. He's like, I know better. I'm going to go into the car, wait there while my wife talks it out, because I just know how shit can get out of hand just because
people are racist and scared.
Exactly.
Because they're scared of black men.
Right.
Is the truth. And then the employee just said, oh, well, I thought he was selling something.
Right.
Which is so bizarre
to me. And
then
said, like, it's not racist. You know, we're just like, are you kidding?
And then
like the only black person around, and you're like specifically targeting him. It seems pretty directly racist.
And then he says that, like, you know, outside earlier, there was a busker who was asking everyone for change.
Who was white with dreadlocks, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And who was like standing right outside the restaurant for like an hour this morning and was never told to go away. Not that he should have been, but that there's a pretty dramatic difference in the way that person was treated and the way he was treated.
But anyhow, it sounds like Kamau Bell and the owner of the Elmwood Cafe have been in conversation, and that they're going to have like a public, like a town hall about it.
Yeah.
Which is great. I'd actually like to go to that.
I think it's really exciting.
Thank you, Katie.
That was a great.
Congratulations on being a great research assistant.
Point
is, we'll have links to that, to articles and Kamau Bell's website and all that stuff down in the link world.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Back on the topic of the startup art fair. There's an article up about it that Joseph Del Pesco and Bean Gilsdorf wrote, kind of analyzing it.
Yeah.
And
it's
they
on
kind
the
of,
SF MoMA blog.
They kind of.
Space blog.
Yeah. And we'll have a link to that.
Yeah.
They kind of came down with a conclusion that no matter how good or bad or whatever this all goes, all the risk is on the artist.
Yeah.
And that, you know, is that problematic? I think so. When you're trying to do something supposedly for the artist. Thoughts, Maysoon?
No, I agree. I think it's a really well-written article or, you know, commentary.
It's very fair. I think they were being a lot really diplomatic because they both it starts out with their both of their tweets about how this was a garbage dump.
It's true.
How the art, how they thought the art fair was a total joke.
We just wanted to read the last paragraph to you that has a nice, it's very a nice concise close here to their statements. We respect that Ray and Steve have given more than 20 years of their lives to the San Francisco art scene. Certainly, they are taking a risk starting a new business, but we're more concerned about the 50 artists than the two organizers. Our critical analysis here is not personal. It's about their business proposition to the artists. Finally, Ray and Steve kindly shared their budget with us. We can see that if the rooms fill, the organizers will make a living wage while the artists will be operating at a deficit. The question remains for us, what does an ethical art fair look like? And is this as close as we can get?
Did it change your opinion about the art fair?
No, it didn't. I'm still very skeptical of it.
Did it change your opinion about art fairs in general?
Nope, I still can't stand them. Pretty much.
All right. So I've been hearing people talk about maybe just having some kind of little alternative ragtag flea market style parking lot art fair while all this is going on. I think it would be really funny to have somebody who just so happens to have a pedicab driving people out from Art Market and Startup over to the parking lot to get some zines and some posters and some performance.
It's like a tailgating party. Just like open the trunk of your car.
I may or may not have a friend who might be working on such an idea.
I think there have been a couple of people talking about alternatives to this particular art fair.
But that happen also at the same time.
At the same time.
And are a little more to punk rock. Because God knows we're all going to these fucking things.
I want to go.
We want to see.
I want to go to the start of art fair and see how it's going, or check in. I'm actually most curious to see which artists get in, and then maybe talk to a few those artists.
Yeah, totally.
Just like what their plan is, why they did it. Do they think they're going to make the money back? Is this an important way for them to be showing their work?
We should talk to a bunch of them before and after.
But we won't know before. No one's telling me that they're applying for it. I don't know. Do you know people who are applying for that?
No.
Okay. And I'm not
Are you applying for it, listeners?
Right. I don't know anyone who is. I've
Let us know. No
it.
Judgment. You do what you got to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
God knows there's some dumb shit we're all doing.
If you think
you're going to get your fucking MFA for however many tens of thousands of dollars, we're all idiots. We got a call in this week from a listener, which is my favorite thing that ever happens in life.
Sure is.
And so let's take a little listen.
Hi, Maisoon and Kate. This is Michael Wisnowski calling. I love the interview with Christian Frock, who is, I think, one of the strongest voices in that same art and activism conversation in the Bay Area. And as easy as it is for me to get into talking about how messed up and frightening the economic situation can be, I think I'd love to jump on Christian's positive bandwagon for a moment. So last week, I went to Southern Exposure for the Alternative Exposure Grantee Party, and a couple of interesting things happened. First, many of the projects receiving the award were Oakland-based, and some were at the Omni Commons. And second, Courtney Fink announced the imminent launch of Common Field at commonfield.org, which is a kind of member-based network organization for these kinds of artist-run projects. It's nationwide. Yeah, we have seen some galleries and nonprofits scale down, move, or close their doors, but I think we're also seeing many new, smaller, dare I say, agile projects popping up around the Bay. The Bay is better than LA for the very reason that we're having this conversation.
And we'll have a link to that or the website that he mentioned, which we're also very excited about and I didn't know about.
It just happened. I mean, Courtney's been working on that for, I would say, a couple of years. It's been a lot of work, a lot of collaboration with other arts organizations and, well, you know, arts leaders throughout the country.
So check that out.
Thank you so much, Michael, for calling in. It was incredible, you know. Very good insights.
I'm continually impressed by our very thoughtful listeners.
We love you, listeners.
We love you. Oh, speaking of listeners, we also got a message in from Dana Hemingway, who corrected us. We said that Artadia is not giving out grants anymore, and they are. They just
Did
do
we
it.
Say that?
Yep. So they still give grants, but they do it city by city. Right. So I think this year they're doing New York City, and then they also do LA, San Francisco, a bunch of other big art cities in the U.S.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for giving us the update on that,
too. Oh, yeah. And we'll have a link to that. We'll have a link to every single thing we've ever talked about, all in the link world. Please call in, tell us other things that we got wrong, because we do not fact check this show.
This is not a news show, just in case you were wondering.
Although it is the only place you should be getting your news.
It's really an opinion piece.
Congratulations! You listened to another episode of Congratulations Pine Tree. Next week, we're going to be interviewing some people. We're going to be making soundscapes. We're going to be talking about cats, probably. And everything else you'd want from an arts and culture podcast.
Number one.
So have a good one. Let me know what you're doing. Let me soon know what you're doing.
Keep in touch. KIT. Or don't.